Hey guys, shoo. You know, I was in a church last weekend. I'm somewhere every weekend. And I told them, I said, of all the places I go all over the country, I've been all over the country. There's only two states I haven't preached in, and I've preached all over. And I said to them, I said, I have never been anywhere like here. That's what I told them. Now, I go back there every year. They're friends. They do recovery. They get people off the street. They have houses where people live and people that live there with them. And they teach people who they are. They teach people why they're alive. That's good. And I told them, they have zero regard for time. Zero. And I told him, I ain't never seen anybody like you guys. And now I feel like I'm going to have to tell them to step up their game. See, you got to understand, and the brother got up and said it. Oh, you said it, actually, Pastor. You said, you know, I know some of you came a long way to hear Dan Moeller, and it is going to happen, and et cetera. But listen, and it was so powerful. Listen, I've been in a little bit of everything. I've been in places where they say, look, you came, we want to just kind of cut things a little short and get you up there. And there's nothing wrong with that. They say, I've been in places where they try to make a statement like, we're going to hold off. We know he's here. We're going to hold off and we try to make a statement. Tonight was just, man, don't miss this. Like I honestly, in a good, healthy way, I get complimented and loved on and humbled all the time by people. I never asked for this. I never asked for this. I never asked to come here. I never asked to preach. I never asked to pastor. Just one day I was at work and Jesus came. And he changed my life. And people saw my changed life. So I never was in Bible school. I don't know if you know that. I was never in a supernatural class. I never did know nothing. I just know Jesus came to where I was working, and he changed my life. And he taught me what it meant to be with him. He taught me what it meant to know him. And it's been a stronghold and a foundation in my life to know him. And then you read scriptures, this is eternal life. We think it's a prayer we pray. This is eternal life, that you might know him, the only true God. And I'm here tonight and I'm thinking, man, this is the whole point. Young man gets up there and shares, this is the whole point. That we might know him, people. The reason people, I'm sure not everybody agrees with me, but I get honestly from people a lot of healthy respect, thank yous, emails, more than I can read, I'm sorry. It's good stuff, and it's never been about ministry or preaching or doing a conference. It's just about him. So when you're standing in my shoes and you've never dreamed what I'm doing, you've never desired it, you've never asked for it, it's just evolved, it's just happened. Like, I don't own a computer this day. I'm not into it. I'm not against it. I'm just not into it. But they got me all over that thing. And people are like, man, I watch all that stuff on the computer. And I'm like, I don't even know who puts it on. I don't even know who organized. They said people organize things and break down topics. And somebody said, you got a whole channel and it's really organized. And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's phenomenal. All I know is this. Don't look for nothing but him and knowing him. Don't ever look for a title, a position. See, you can preach this and it's always going to preach good because it's right. But But don't just hear it like it's the right thing to say. Please hear me right now. Don't you pursue a title, ministry, a platform, a position, esteem, honor, respect. Please pursue him. Go after him. Get to know him. Listen, it's simple. It's not complicated. If it was complicated, I wouldn't get it. I'm a very super uneducated man. Now, I know God's made my hair white and some of you think I'm wise, but I am very uneducated. I can read and write and it don't go much past that. If the gospel wasn't simple, my heart wouldn't be so excited. Look, it's real simple. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't have sent his son. If the son didn't love you, he wouldn't have came. So I guess him and the father are one. I read that somewhere. They're one. Come on, it's simple. The God of the universe, the one who was and is to come. The one that was there from the beginning, whatever that means. Because if you look up the word, it means a time that goes back and back and back till there is no beginning. It's a crazy word, in the beginning. We're talking about nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Jesus. And that Jesus let Holy Spirit put him in a woman. Come on, this isn't theology. This happened. This isn't a storybook. The Lord said, I'll go into a woman and be born of a woman. And I'll say, Son of Man. Son of God. Son of Man. He is so serious about restoring what he intended.
Come on, that's right.
He's so serious about making this thing straight and revealing his love through this whole thing and his goodness and his faithfulness and his tender mercies and his loving kindness that while we were yet sinners, God sent his son. Oh, don't you get mad because of life. Don't you get mad because of circumstances. Please don't you get mad because of people. Don't you let things and stuff and people decide who you are and how you are. Don't you live in that kind of place where one person's deciding your disposition and his name isn't Jesus. Don't you get tricked into the same old, I heard that girl singing, ain't going back to the same old. I heard her sing it tonight, she's guilty, she sang it, you sang it, I heard you, I pay attention. I could have jumped up and preached about 60 times. You all are different, you're different around here, you're different. It's good different, like there was no way, I preach every week, you always, there's always an aware. You always know when it's time to put on a mic and it's transition time and, oh, wow, we're getting to that point. I better get mic'd up. I had no clue. I know. It was so good. I was totally clueless. It was so good. So don't you mix that up and think, are they just going to sing all night? Don't get caught there. We wasn't singing. But you didn't even know. I was like, I just forgot about it. I just figured, okay, I just thought, forget, I'm not here to preach or something. It doesn't matter. Like, forget the mic's under my chair because I might not even need it. It doesn't matter. Like, there's no such thing as transition time here. Like, you couldn't tell. Even when the young man got up there in the end, I still wasn't sure. So I didn't even pick up my mic. The only time I picked up my mic is when the worship team walked off. And then I watched to see if they're coming back. I love this. This is like, and when you heard what they're singing, it's all about him and it's all about loving him. It gives us, everyone, an opportunity to make contact, to go this way. And here's the thing. You have that privilege because while you were yet a sinner, God sent his son. Jesus came when you were all messed up. You didn't know. And even if you thought you knew, you weren't living it and whatever. None of that changes truth or him because he's truth. So you got to go back to the cross. You always got to go back to the fact that he came. And you can't let it be an Easter story. You can't let it be a baby in a manger. It's God coming in the flesh. It's Jesus, the Son of God, who came as the Son of Man. Why? He's so serious about restoring what he created and intended. We turn it into forgiveness and stop there. And it's all about redemption and restoration and transformation. We focus, thank God for forgiveness, Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. But if he took away the sin, now what? Probably ought to live like sons. Probably ought to walk in the Spirit. Probably ought to live in righteousness. Probably ought to bear fruit unto God. What do you say? Yeah? Come on. This thing is so powerful called the gospel. It's good news. God sent his son. I've been preaching it a lot lately. I'm 24 years saved. It feels like it's some of the only stuff I can say. It's like, he came. Like, he came. And people are like, okay, how about preaching a message? He came. Don't get religious on me. God put himself in the womb of a woman. That's intense. He's God. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. And now he's hanging out for 9 months. 9 months. Serious. For 9 months, he's just in there. I don't know what he did. But he's all curled up in there for 9 months. That right there is enough to freak me out. He must be serious about redeeming you. He must be serious about restoring your life. He must be serious about saying, I love you and meaning it. Don't you try to find love through life and circumstance. Well, I thought God loved me. Well, if God loved me, how come? Well, why'd he let? And how come he? Well, why this and why? Stop. You don't find the love of God always through life. And if you're trying to define God through life, you'll misunderstand terribly. You find love through his son. And you find love through Christ crucified. Did you ever notice in the Bible when people asked Jesus questions, they usually had wrong intentions. They were frustrated. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to trick him. They usually had ill intentions. And the Bible makes mention of their motive when they ask questions. Did you notice he never answered their questions? He always asked them a question in return. So people say, well, if God loved me, how come? Well, if God really, and they're upset because they're analytically assessing human wisdom, human reasoning, analytical thought process. Well, if God really loved me, why did he let, and how come so-and-so died, and why did my car, and how come my job? You ever hear that line of thought? And if Jesus was here, I'm convinced he would say, if God didn't love you, why did he send his son when you were yet a sinner? See, we get our eyes on ourselves because we were born into self-centeredness. We weren't born into the kingdom. We have to get born again. We were actually born into Adam. So we got to get born again. Let's stop reducing that to a prayer, I pray, that qualifies me to go someplace called heaven when this thing's wrapped up. That doesn't transform a person's life. That's not our goal. Our goal isn't going to heaven someday. Our goal is heaven coming back inside of us.
and us being restored. So when she's singing, I'm not going back to the same old, why is that always the sins we committed? Why isn't that our motives, our reason for being, our perspectives? Why isn't that everything about our lives? I'm not going back to the old. Why? I put off the old man. I put off the old man and his deeds. You say, well, that could be your sins and the things you committed. Well, it could be. But what about your motives? All sin comes from a self-centered platform. Wonder if we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him, our lives would probably look different. Yeah? Oh, my goodness. This thing is not hard. If it was complicated, I wouldn't be all excited. I'd be thinking. It's so simple. He made us for a reason. That reason got lost through sin. He sent a son to deal with sin, to get it off of us so he can get back in us and on us and get back to purpose. So we'll talk a little about that purpose. And if he wasn't serious, would he sit in her womb for 9 months? I'm freaked out by it. I mean, you would think being God, he could just show up in the wilderness 30 years old, ready to roll. Just show up, Star Trekking, boom. I'm here. No, Holy Spirit, bink. Why? He had to come as a man and fulfill what man failed. God defeated the devil through a man empowered by God to win back this thing called purpose, created value, destiny. So you and I could live in the Spirit and write a legacy that brings glory to the King forever. Now you think I believe that, and today I'm going to be caught up with he said, she said, tit for tat, well, I feel, well, I don't know why, well, how come, well, they shouldn't have been. Not today, friend. Today's not the right day for that. Tomorrow won't be a good one either. See, because you get born again, we're not going back to the old. We're not going to wake up for the same reason anymore. We're not going to live another day from the same motive anymore. He puts something new in me. All of a sudden, I have a new reason for being. Now the why behind my life is different. See, if we get this, watch, this is not deep. If we get this, we'll get this. What a man sees, he'll become. Satan works in blindness, deception, counterfeit stuff, half-truth. Wonder if we just preached a half-truth when we preached the cross. Wonder if we just preached the blessing in it called eternal life. Wonder if people get saved to go to heaven instead of become what they were intended to be by God in the first place. Instead of putting off the lie, to put on the truth. Instead of getting out of darkness and getting in the light. See, if you don't do that, how are you going to, 1 John 1 it, and walk in the light as he's in the light? How are you going to be the, and me going to be the light of the world? How are we going to let our light so shine before men so they see your life lived and know there's a God? See, there's so much scripture that pertains to what we become. Not what we receive, what we become. We have to be very careful that we look deeper and see the intention of God deeper than just God doing something for me. And miss becoming more like him and what he paid for. Yeah? You say, more like him? That's blasphemy. You can't. Jesus said he's the firstborn among many brethren. We're predestined, Romans 8, to be conformed to the image of his son. The things he did will do if we believe, and greater things because he goes to the Father. Yeah? The Bible says, as he is, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Christ in us, the hope of. glory, the manifested glory of God, the revealed glory of God means, and he made seen, and he realized, and he recognized attribute or manifestation of who God is. It's the glory of God revealed. Yeah? So the Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. The Christ in who? You see, I didn't just pray a prayer to go to heaven. You see, I'm not just forgiven. Come on. We better have a better motive than just being forgiven. Actually, it's a stumbling block when that's all you think, because then you're constantly aware of your own life. You're thinking about your own life. You're wondering why you're forgiven, and then you're wondering if you're forgiven, and then you're wondering if you're still forgiven. And when you have those questions, you don't have intimacy with God. And when you don't have intimacy with God, you're not getting to know him. And if you're not having intimacy with God, you'll never bear fruit of him. You'll never get pregnant in him. You'll never give birth to who he is in you. If you don't get intimate, you won't get pregnant. I was a couple months old in the Lord. It's why I talk about this stuff all the time, because it's all I know. All I know is being with him to become more like him, to be what he paid for. And then when you leave your bedroom, there's no projection. You're not trying to evangelize. You're not even trying to show anybody anything. It just becomes your life. And people recognize that, and it's naturally you, and circumstances don't have the power to change that, so you don't live up and down. You don't have mountain valley theology. Got to climb up and get filled with the Lord. Then I got to go back down into the valley and get drained and dried out by you. And hopefully I didn't wait too long to get back up the mountain. Revitalize and refuel. Yes, Lord, I'm going. And then I got to go back down into the valley where you all are. It's really weird theology. Who's old school? Who's been a Christian for 40 years, 40, 50 years, 40, 50 years. Good. Watch. You guys know this is true. Back in the day. My hair is white enough now I can start saying back in the day. The church came up with this great idea. They said, let's have a Wednesday service, midweek service, to split the long haul of the week trying to get through the week. Who knows I'm telling the truth? The reason for the midweek service was a Holy Ghost injection. Whew. Just to get through Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thank God for Sunday. Shoot, that's a long haul from Wednesday to Sunday. Man, I don't mind Sunday to Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday. I just take a big drink on Sunday, and I'll make my way to Wednesday. Am I telling the truth? That's where midweek service came from. The idea was, it's so hard living in the world. You get so drained by life and people and stuff. You got to go to work and hear the four-letter bombs all day, and you can barely take anymore. So you got to get to church. And then there was folks that didn't even want to leave church because they didn't want to face what they couldn't. So then they thought, if we just did church every day, And it proved one thing. Our hearts were right in a certain sense, believing God, but for all the wrong reasons. And all of a sudden, we didn't even understand that we love not our own life unto death. We've denied ourselves. We're carrying our cross. Men don't owe us anything. People don't bother us. Jesus is our fulfillment. We're called to love and live by the Spirit. I don't need a midweek service except to stay stirred in love and good works. And I'm not going to forsake the assembling of myself together so that I can stay focused in that truth. Not get a shot to make it a couple days more. Are you with me? Jesus is bringing us a long way. On the earth right now is the greatest revelation I believe we've ever had. I believe people are understanding the importance of intimacy and relationship and the why behind the cross. Jesus didn't even, do you understand that he had to die because of our sin and because we've sinned? Do you understand he had to die because we sinned? Do you get that? But watch this. This is, we haven't preached this. We've preached he died because we sinned. Like he died because we're sinners. No. He had to die because we all committed sin. He didn't die because we're sinners. He died because we're lost sons. He gave his life to redeem something, not just forgive something. He purchased something. Like, he purchased our identity. He purchased our purpose. He purchased our destiny. Come on, he's not just forgiving you. Why would he do what he did? Why would he go in a woman, raise up as a little boy and have to live to about age 30, get baptized by John and step into what he was here for, lamb slain before the foundation of the world? That's intense. Why? Because God made man for a reason. That reason got overlaid and washed seemingly away through sin in man's heart and mind. But God never changed. He already had Jesus before the foundation of the world slain. He prophesied him in Genesis. He's all through the Old Testament. If you look, he's everywhere. And then we, if we're not careful, in good intention, misinterpret and make it all about us getting forgiven and going to heaven someday. And then the highest revelation is, oh yeah, I'm saved. And we don't even understand what we're really saying. We just mean I prayed the prayer we're all supposed to pray. And our hearts are sincere and we see our need for forgiveness. But you stop there if you're not careful. If you don't have any other revelation, your boss still gets on your nerves because you don't have new nerves. You're waving two flags in service, but you still have animosity in your marriage because you don't understand. And all of a sudden, Christianity is what you do for him instead of what you become in him. And all of a sudden, going to church is what makes you Christian instead of Christ-likeness. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's not even about your life. We just think it's about honoring his life, but his life is in you, Christ in you. And then it gets really sticky because we say, okay, now I got to have children. So I mean, I got children. Now I got to make sure my children grow up in church. And we mean well and we take our kids to church, but we're not pursuing Jesus in our lives per se because we don't have a bigger revelation. We're doing church. So church is Christianity. Church attendance is what we do. And then all of a sudden you teach your children Christianity as church attendance if you're not pursuing Christ outside of the service. You don't even realize it's happening. It's inadvertent. All of a sudden you just look like everybody else. And then we say, well, that's because we're keeping it real, brother. We're not going to get into now. Everybody got their issues. We all have our fallouts. We all have our moments. It's amazing how God works through dirty, broken vessels, brother. You ever hear that? Get a bucket for that man. Come on. You say, well, yeah, but the Bible says the heart is evil and da-da. Used to be. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new heart. How do you deny yourself See, she made this thing about praying a prayer. He never said that. Jesus never said pray a prayer. He said, if you're going to follow me, there's something you got to do. It's the biggest problem in your life. You living for you. You living for you is the biggest problem on the planet. Look, I'm not a politician, I'm not a philosopher, but I do understand this. The biggest problem on the planet isn't politics, it's not racism, it's not terrorism. It's that every day people made for God's image are waking up living for their own self. Every day. Even people going to church, they don't realize that they aren't doing it evilly, they aren't doing it wickedly, they're not doing it in hypocrisy, they're tricked into it because they don't have any other revelation, so they wake up and even all their prayers are for themselves, and the reason they're Christian is for what they get out of him instead of becoming more like him and walking in the light as he's in the light. Come on! And if you really believe what I'm saying, it challenges your attitude. It challenges your display and your disposition. It grabs a hold of your motives and your reason for being. And all of a sudden, you're waking up with something new every morning. Yeah? And all of a sudden, you realize nobody owes me a thing. Wonder if you'd bring that into your marriage. Instead of 50-50, a lot of work. God made you a certain way, made me a certain way. Make sure you minister to that. And all of a sudden, your spouse becomes your reason, your justification for not being Christ-like. So I guess your spouse is Lord. I guess your spouse is the governing factor of your life. I guess your spouse is the supreme being. Oh, I'm about ready to come on. I've been very calm for a half hour, but I feel this thing revving up in me, ready to preach to you a little. No, it's true. You know why? Because we grew up in Adam. We grew up with the wisdom of the world. Let's just face it. The way that seemeth right to a man, and that's the problem, it seemeth right. But if you look at the attitudes, the mentalities, and the motives that we've been possessed by, and that we've learned by, and that we've grown by, they've never produced life. They're for our own benefit. They're in self-defense. They're at the cost of others, justifying ourselves. All that changes in Christ Jesus. Come on, the wisdom of the world, it has to change. You can't be conformed to the world. It's Romans 12. Do not be conformed to the world. He's not just talking about adultery and robbing a bank and raping. Come on. Do not be conformed to the world. But be by the, look it up. It means thinking like you've never thought before. Where am I getting new thoughts that were never thought before? From the truth. And who's he? Where's that? He's got a name. Yeah? So all of a sudden I look to Jesus and I find out and I have a model what life looks like in the Father. And I know I can follow it because he invited me. And now he gave me the same spirit that raised him from the dead to assure that I can live in him. And all he's asking me for is myself. So how can you deny yourself and still have all kind of rights and issues and complaints and grievances and disposition shifts? How can you convince yourself that you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and still issue driven? And still have reasons for not being what you're created for? Well, I'd be in a better place, brother, if it wasn't for this and this. This and this isn't Lord. Why is it dominating your life? Why are you believing it more than truth? Come on, I'm not being insensitive. We all have these challenges, but this, and this isn't Lord. So why are you letting it matter more than what matters most? Don't be deceived. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. I'm talking to his children. I'm not here to spank you and correct you. I'm here to tell you who you are because you can handle it. Come on, I just saw you can handle it. Come on. Woo! I was so humbled. You don't know this. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at you guys. I love you guys. I met these guys in Canada, and now I get to see them again. And they're the same but worse, if you know what I mean. Like, time doesn't dull you. Time gives you greater revelation. And the more you get to know him, the worse you are. So he's still crying. And he does his share too. But they're in love. In love with a man. It's totally legal. In love with a man. So I'm sitting here. And I'm like, wow, this is really humbling, Lord. This is so fun. Because you can get a feel in your heart for what God's doing, what's been plowed and sown and watered in lives, and you can taste the momentum. And you look around, see the kids, and see what's in them. You can see that God has been on the move here. And a lot of times I go to places and just kind of blow things up. I don't try to, but I preach a little different. It's just it's just different. There's different reasons you're in different places. I felt so humble tonight during worship, and then I had no sense of transition, and I thought, and I just told the folks, my friends last week, that they're the only church I've ever been to like that, and they have no concept of time, and I'm thinking, how can I be in another one the very next week? And be legitimately in this thing. Like, this was legitimate. And I was humbled because I thought, this is totally different. I just get to co-labor. I'm just getting to add a voice of conviction to what you're already doing in a very beautiful, big way. Probably more than we realize. And I just was humbled that God would let me participate. Yeah, it was humbling and awesome. And then you guys are like, and I'm sure Pastor Dan would agree that, and I'm thinking, more than you know, brother. Like it's one thing if I preach clear. It's one thing if he preaches clear. If you preach clear, it's one thing if you preach clear. It's another thing if people start embracing and becoming.
Come on.
And their lives are transformed. Jesus. It's the highest payday to a man that Jesus. Preaches. Paul said, you're my joy, you're my crown. And then in that day, we're going to lay our crowns before him and thank him for the grace that worked effectively. And we're just going to be honored that we got to run this race worthy of a prize. That's all that's going to matter. Watch. It's all that's going to matter. Then faith says, okay, I'm in. I'm going to steward my heart. And I'm going to walk this thing out. Because we let so many other things matter that aren't gonna matter. I'm not talking about going on a picnic or bowling, or I'm talking about issue related stuff, mentality, motive, mood swings, whatever. Come on, that did not come from Jesus. None of those things. He didn't teach us any of that, and he's a good teacher. He said, you got one teacher, one. You got one, and he's the Christ. That means if we didn't learn from him, we didn't learn it at all. Come on, we didn't learn from him. Well, he said, well, I wouldn't if they didn't. Well, how come they had to? We didn't learn any of that language. 99% of pastoral counseling is people having issues with people. And it proves we don't understand the gospel. We don't understand why he came. And we preach, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking at large. We preach a very self-serving gospel. We preach message after message that benefits me at the risk of it never transforming me. And then the hearers are just hearing for what they can get from him, what they can get from him. So discouraged people go to church. And if I read my Bible right, discouraged Christians isn't even scriptural. But because of the way we present the message, people are justified in discouragement when they show up on Sunday, because God hasn't come through like they need, like they prayed, like they hoped, like they wanted. And all of a sudden, it's all about what he can do for me instead of what I become in him. And that's when life gets fun, people. Don't you be deceived tonight in any way. This thing is all about you simply laying down your life and getting a grip on the why behind your life, where you're not living for yourself in any way, where you're seeking first the kingdom of God, where you wake up in the morning because the gospel has taught you to wake up in the morning and be thankful. Be thankful. Why? Be thankful because it's not about me. I've got thankfulness in my heart. When you lose your thankfulness, that's a warning sign that you've turned inward and it's about your life and how all the things are affecting you and how you feel and how you have to respond and what this is costing me. When you lose your thankfulness, it's a warning that you've turned inward and this thing's about you again. That's why all these scriptures are attached on the very end, and with thanksgiving, and with thanksgiving. Why? Because when you lose your thankfulness, it's a warning sign. It turned inward and your focus is more on how life is affecting you instead of why you're here. Now, I'm just going to say it as plain as I can, okay? You gave me a mic. You don't want me to soft pedal nothing anyway. You're on the earth for one reason, according to scripture. You're on the earth to shine. And anything that comes after you shining is the enemy and deception. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about mindsets. Any reason you have to not shine, no matter how complicated, how hard you think, how wrong they were, can be a trap. The bottom line is, if the way you're processing keeps you from shining, you're being deceived. Did you ever see Jesus bummed out in scripture? Did you read where he was bummed out and got weak that one morning? He was just hanging out in the Mount of Olives after a night of prayer and getting real. You never read that? Where he was just moping on the rock and Peter came, talked to him. What's the matter, Lord? He said, you know, Peter, I've been thinking, man. People really don't appreciate me. I mean, no, seriously, Peter. I mean, I know the 70 times 7 and all that stuff, but... And I mean, I'm trying to guard my heart and everything, but the truth is, I mean, people are just downright self-centered, self-seeking. I mean, you saw me feed their bellies the other day, and then they followed us the whole way over and tracked me down on the other side. And you know the only reason they came is so I feed them again. And then when I gave them the real word of why I'm here, they all walked away. I'm glad you stayed. I'm glad you didn't leave. But I'm just ain't feeling it today, Peter. I don't know. God lets me hear their thoughts. I wish he didn't, because their thoughts ain't cool, man. And it's just, I just don't know how I'm going out there another day and being thronged by a bunch of needy people, meeting their needs, and they don't love God and they don't want to hear what I have to say. I'm not feeling it, man. I think I'm just going to hang out here today. So you didn't read that chapter? It ain't in your Bible. You know why it ain't in your Bible? Because he would never be there. Why wouldn't he ever be there? Because he's Jesus? Because he's love. See, don't miss the point. Don't say, well, he couldn't do that because he's Jesus. And then you make him a special man that you can't follow. He can't do that because he's love, and that's what you're created for. The image of God is love. It's not a head and shoulders and arms, because God is spirit. Read your Bible. God's spirit. So what did he do to us? He put who he is inside of bodies. And he made us all different. But we can all look like him. Come here, man. Look, I do this everywhere I go. You're not going to mix us up. There's no way. No, you're way better looking. Look, you're not going to mix us up. You're not going to confuse us. We don't look anything alike. Our skin color is different. Our personalities are probably different. Our looks are way different. Watch. We're really different. But guess what? Every day we get out of bed, we can look exactly like him. And that's what makes us one. It's called the unity of the faith. One mind, one spirit, one faith. He's not talking about faith to heal the sick. He's talking about faith to live your life in truth. It's the faith. It's a perspective he has down here in Florida, I have in Pennsylvania, and whether we cross paths or not, we're family. We're both living for the same reason. We both wake up and look like Jesus. You get it? Thank you. That's what makes us one. Is that too cool or what? Come on, that's like really super amazing. Now watch in our lives how we've been tricked. Identity crisis, insecurity, low esteem, not feeling good about ourselves, not even liking ourselves, believing things about ourselves that have been suggested and projected, things that have nothing to do with this truth that we're preaching. Why? Because every man was born into a lost identity, born into Adam, and you must be born again. In a born-again life, you become a new creation. Old things pass away. Who you see yourself to be, how you see yourself, how you come to the knowledge of identity and truth, everything changes. It all has to come through him. Come on, from the time you can remember, you woke up and you needed, from the time you can remember, you needed honored, you needed loved, you needed encouraged, you needed to feel important, you loved to be made feel special, you needed things in your life, and so did I. We needed stability, and most of us didn't have a lot of the things on the list. And in short time, you became nothing more than a product of how you responded to how it all went down. Be real with me. Every one of us needed love. We didn't know anything about being love. We all needed love. And that's why people are hurt, broken, disappointed, frustrated, angry, bitter, raging, suicidal, murder. You see how perverted the list is? Well, how did it happen? Because the biggest perversion was what God made man to be, got 180 twisted when he got cut off from love and separated from God through sin. So we all get born into separation from God, and we become what Adam became from birth. Born into Adam, you must be born again. And somehow we turned that into a beneficial prayer that takes me to heaven someday instead of a truth that takes me back to the beginning. Yep. Yep. So I'm going to put off, and I'm going to put on every day in prayer. Until that thing becomes so real in me that I don't have to pray nothing because I see it. Because I've become it. Every day I'm just going to put off. I'm going to put on. And if it ain't producing life, it ain't him. If it ain't encouraging my heart and building up others, it ain't him. If it's taking things personal and frustrated and ho-hum, then it's deception because I can't see it in him. And if I can't see it in him, I don't want to see it in me. If I can't find him in this chapter that I made up, and we're all laughing silly because we know he'd never say that or do that, why isn't it silly when we do it if we're made in his image? If we're made for his image and the Christ in me is the hope of glory, and we're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, and the things he did will do if we believe, then why is it so silly when we put Jesus there and so accepted if that was us? If he didn't teach me this, then where'd I learn it? Whoever saw Jesus halfway to Golgotha and then it just clicked and he got smart and said, what am I doing? And just dropping the cross. You ain't never read that? You ain't never read Jesus halfway to Golgotha getting analytical, thinking about Barabbas and the whole thing and all the miracles and all the chapters are running through his head. And all of a sudden he's like, what are they doing to me? Why am I taking all this? This is ridiculous. You never read that chapter either, huh? So you ain't never seen him just drop the cross and say, Father, I'm done. I ain't taking another step. Are you kidding me? Look what they have done to me. All I've ever did is what you told me. I haven't missed one beat. My heart's been completely pure. You search me, you'll know. You're my Father. These people don't appreciate us. How many people have I healed? How many miracles have I done? Barabbas kills a man. I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy. I'm trying to make peace here. And they want to kill me? Forget those people, man. If they didn't change by now, they ain't never changing. And I am done. If they hit me with one more stick, I'm telling you. But he can't think that way because he's love, not because he's Jesus. And he didn't come seeking his own. came to save us. Whew. He didn't come seeking fair treatment. He came to lay down his life and pay the price to redeem us back to what we're here for. And he said, follow me. He said, if you're heavy laden, if you're a burden, come unto me and I'm going to give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. Learn of me. If he's the light of the world, we ought to get out of darkness into the light. So the way you're thinking, the way you're processing, the way you're saying, well, that ain't fair. Well, they shouldn't have did me that way. Well, that was wrong. Well, how would you feel? Maybe that's the wrong question. Maybe that's the problem. You're surrounding yourself with people that feel like you do. And all of a sudden, you're supported to stay where you are, and where you are isn't producing life. And they're your friends, and now you got a support system to stay the same and don't even realize it. And all you're getting is agreement instead of freedom. Come on. Come on. When you preach this thing, it ain't far off. People are like, yeah. Do you ever notice how hurting people surround themselves with people that understand their pain? Understanding their pain will never set them free. It'll empower them to stay there. And then we say stuff in spiritual deception. We're like, oh, I can't believe they did that to you. That was so wrong. Now they're crying hard. You think you're ministering. You think you're ministering. And you're like, you know, God, would you just come, Holy Spirit, and bring comfort? And now they're laying on you. And you're thinking, I am just such a minister. You're empowering them to stay the same and spiritualizing it. Instead of saying, okay, listen, I heard what they did and I see. Look, it was way wrong. I understand they should have never did that, but they did it. I just keep hearing Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So not that we don't have to address it at some point, but here's my question to you. Why are you letting what they did affect you so much? People come to me, pastoral stuff, and they're so hurt. I say, I want to know why you're so hurt. Yeah. Well, didn't you hear what they did? Well, I see what they did to Jesus. I don't see him hurt. I see him laying down his life. He's asking you to follow him. I need to ask you why you're so hurt. Yeah. Well, he cheated on me. Well, she cheated on me. Okay, so now you become cheated on? So them cheating on you is greater than the Son of God dying on a cross and raising from the dead? So you're going to let what one person said and did trump what Jesus said and did? Yeah. And that's going to become your story? And now your heart's going to be jaded and hurt and hard because one person made a sinful decision and you're going to roll over on your identity and break your trust and mark your heart? It's hard to preach this in the church because that's like the number one sin. We're like, we're cheated on. I got cheated on. Then you live cheated on? What, you get betrayed so you live betrayed? On the night Jesus was betrayed. He just broke bread and passed it and handed a cup and said, here's my blood. He's laying down his life and cutting covenant on the night he's betrayed. That's how you know if you know him, on the night you're betrayed. Not when you attend church service. Not when you worship for an hour and a half or 45 minutes. You know him on the night you're betrayed when you don't call a friend and cry and ask for prayer and tell him all the details. When you're not even moved and your heart cries for people because they're in that position. And all of a sudden, you don't cry because of men. You cry for men because of him. And all of a sudden, you're complete in him and you're solid in him and nobody owes you a thing, so they can't let you down. You didn't wake up to expect a thing from a man. You woke up to shine and you're going to shine. Come on, this is all I'm preaching to you is Christianity. That's all I'm preaching is Christianity. Because then people see constant and consistent. Now your life's speaking way louder than any words could ever speak. And then the people in your little circle and people at work and people that watch your life find out what you've been going through and they couldn't even tell until they found out. And now they're freaked out. And now they want to talk to you and know and find out where your mind is. And they'll feel like they got to persecute it because they don't understand it. But in the long run, they'll see it's in life and it'll make them hungry for something new. It's called evangelism. It's not just a bullhorn. Evangelism isn't just a bullhorn. Come on. Why would they want what you say if they can't see it in your life? Where do we get the idea that evangelism is a bullhorn? It's your life lived. Evangelism is your life lived. Love is evangelistic. In the gospel, they didn't go around trying to get conversions and people to repeat a prayer. In the gospel, they just followed God and feared God, and people came to them and said, how can we live like you? How can we? What must we do to be saved? Men and brethren, we're cut up, man. What shall we do? That's when we'll know we're on track, when people are running saying, how can I live like you're living? I love it. I'm sitting on an airplane and people get talking to me and they'll go, it's so funny. It's like really cool. They'll go, we're talking, and they'll go, like they see something. I'm thinking he's in there going, looking through my. Because they'll sit there and we're talking and I'm passionate and I'm trying to calm down so I don't freak them out. But it's hard to calm down when you're in love. So you're sincere and they see your sincerity. They feel the passion and they realize you're not just on a platform preaching. They don't even know you're on a platform. They don't even know. They just see something in you and they want it. They don't. They're like, whoa, that's so legit. I've had them, and they'll go like this. This is way more than once. They'll go, whoa. Like, you really know him, don't you? Like you know him. I said, I'm getting to know him. How can I know him like that? How can I know him like, whew. And you're right on a plane. They can't go nowhere. They ain't trying anymore. You already had them. They're against the window. They're seatbelted. 2-hour flight, man. I ain't never seen nobody get through one of them holes. You sit there and they say about getting your seatbelt on, and I watch, they click. They're in. And then they say, how are you doing? Big mistake. Because I'm not going to say, well, I'm hanging in there. Well, just hoping to get through this flight okay. Really worried about my connection and just really, yeah, I get a little frustrated. Traffic was so bad. I'm just glad I got here. Yeah, I'm doing okay. It's probably not going to be even close to my response. It's like, how are you doing? It's like a big pool cord doll. How are you doing? It's so fun. Sure beats having issues. Sure beats being overwhelmed. Sure beats being in unforgiveness. Sure beats ticked off at your family because they didn't. But wonder if you actually have a perspective that no matter what the circumstances, you shine and people see. Shine and people see. No matter what you're going through, no matter who did and who didn't, because he already has. That's a truth you'll never change. The fact that he loves me and why he did what he did will never change. And the only way the fruit of that can change if I get my eyes on other things. And I let what you say and what you do or what you don't say and do matter more than who he is in me and what I'm called for. Now that's where faith comes in. For some, it's a lack of understanding. I make sure when people are facing me, there's no lack of understanding in this arena. It's my responsibility in the Lord. It's my great privilege to chop all that stuff up and lay it all out. This is why I came. This is why we're here. And then I trust Holy Spirit with those convictions. And even if you go choose to live something else, you won't do it without knowing. Come on, because I'm not speaking heavy, deep things. A child can follow me. They're all sitting there just looking. Youngsters understand. And if you're not preaching and the youngster can't understand, you're probably not preaching a clear gospel. I'm not talking in riddles. You can all hear what we're saying. So I guess it boils down to this. What am I going to do with this truth and this purpose? Am I going to keep letting things matter more over what matters most? Or am I going to get a clearer view and go after him in prayer, surrender more, yield more, enter in more, seek him more, till this truth becomes my reality and I'm walking in the light as he's in the light? Whether my family does, whether my family doesn't, I'm always going to have to answer, what did I do with truth? What did I do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? You say, yeah, but you don't understand my up. upbringing. You don't understand the family girl. You don't understand my background. You don't understand my spouse. Well, I understand what you're trying to say. But what about seeking him? Nobody can keep you from him but you. Come on, let's just get real. And once you grow to know him, nobody can touch that. And it's not an arrogant place. It's a humble place. Like nobody can touch that place. There ain't an ounce of persecution. There ain't an ounce of fun making. People will mock you sometimes at work because they're challenged and threatened by your conduct in life. What can they threaten if I know him? How can you belittle me if I'm established in him and I'm complete and I'm full?
Yeah.
I'm just encouraging you guys in this stuff. We have sold cheap and we're not even for sale. We have given ourselves to so many things that don't matter, things that produce anti-finished work, disposition, attitudes, motives, emotional expressions that demean and tear down and actually give excuses to stay there versus living in the Spirit. Are you with me? I'm telling you, as a leader, as a pastor for years, almost all of our counseling is people struggling with people. It takes two to tango. It takes one to pursue peace. The Bible says, don't let you ever be named as an evildoer. And he has a whole list of what people are named for. Make sure you're never on that list, he says in Romans. And he says, as much as is possible with you, be at peace with all men. You're called to peace. Blessed are the, for they are the. See, sonship is not a new language on the earth. It's not a new confession and a new name tag. Sonship is an expression on the earth. We just run around, we're all sons, Papa God. I'm not against all that. You got to make sure that's not just new language. Because if we're not careful, we're just always grabbing for something new because we're not really settled. And all of a sudden, we grab into new language just because you learn the language. Come on, I'm not a Spanish heritage, but if I took Spanish and could speak it fluently, that doesn't make me Spanish. But I can talk the language, but I'll never be Spanish. So in Christianity, it's not about learning a language. It's about becoming what you were created for. Not a language, a life. Are you with me? So it's real simple. You're given everything you are, that's all that he is, can be in you and shine through. How do I get there? Through prayer, through surrender, through yielding yourself to him. I'm going to be bold. I might get in trouble for this. I get a little concerned in an atmosphere like tonight, when the best some folks can do is decide how it should have been, maybe shorter, maybe a little more. Well, we have visitors, not everybody. And we're so busy trying to assess what's right and what's wrong that we miss our opportunities to just go after him and just seek him and just forget the room for a minute and just seek him. What I commend tonight, not that I'm taking any sides, I commend that it was purely an opportunity to connect, and it was unlimited opportunity and more unlimited opportunity. It was amazing, and it was all about loving him and being loved by him. So if you ever get in an atmosphere like that again, meaning if you ever come back here, don't miss your opportunity. Better yet, when you leave here, don't miss your opportunity. Because if there's one thing telling you that you can't meet with him, then it's a lie. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. Shh, stop. How long are you going to keep talking yourself out of what you're created for? While you were yet a sinner, he sent his son. I'll bet you can approach him now. I'll bet you his blood's on the mercy seat, and I'll bet you his blood's speaking better things. Yep. So if you come through him, no matter where you've been or what you've just done, but you come to him with a sincere motive that you want to know him more and you want that knowing of him to begin to change your life, I'll bet you he'll meet you right there, and that's the place he's been longing for. When he came to me that night, I told you he changed me at work. A simple thought came to my mind. It sounded like my own. It's just out of the blue. And you know what it said? You don't even know if God is really real. He didn't say, first person, haven't seen you in church for a while, boy. When's the last time you picked up that Bible, if you even know where it is? Haven't heard you pray in a long time. He didn't say none of that. You know what he said? He said, you don't even know. It just sounds like my own mind, if God's really real. All the time, he wanted me to know him. Because knowing him is eternal life. And you can't know him and not be changed by him. Now watch this scripture. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7. Let us love one another, for love is of. And everyone who is born of God and knoweth God. Watch. He who loveth not just knoweth not God. He didn't say you don't pastor itinerant speak. He didn't say you don't go on a mission trip once a year. He didn't say you don't feed the poor. But he did say this. If you don't love, there's one reason, not two. One, not two. You don't know him like you could. Which means I can't know him without becoming love. So the evidence of this in your life is this. And it don't matter how much somebody says they have this. If it's not this, then it's not this. You can't hide behind a confession. You can't hide behind religious function. This always, always translates into this. If you don't love, there's one, not two, reasons. It's because you don't know him like you could. Are you with me? So the barometer of you knowing God is your love. Guess what love is? Love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account of the wrong that's done to it. Then why are we so busted up by so many things? Why are we angry? Why are we in unforgiveness at times? Why are we trying to get over it? Because we haven't become love. We've been taught by another wisdom, homeschooled in the wrong home. And we got to get born again. We've been tutored and taught by false teachings. And I'm not talking scripture. I'm just talking mentalities that are passed down through the fall of man. We're born into Adam, must be born again. New creation, put off the old, die in the likeness of his death, raise in the newness of life. Water baptism is almost swept away in a lot of circles. It's an annual event at best if it's even mentioned. Why? Because it's all about going to heaven. It's not about transformation and new life. Water baptism is death, burial, and resurrection. You die in the likeness of his death, you raise in the resurrection power of Christ. You die in the likeness of his death, and you raise in the newness of life. You reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So anything that was ever done to you, anything you've ever done, dies with him. And even as God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory of the Father, so you shall raise in the newness of life. Die to everything that was, live to everything that's in him. It's water baptism. It's pretty amazing. It sure beats the next step, an ordinance, a rule to follow. Then we argue immersion, sprinkling, name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then we fight and we build things and dig things that have nothing to do with him. Isn't that something? He said, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. And then we fight over whether it's the blood's enough or do I need to get baptized. And
I actually had somebody say this to me once. They said, well, wonder if somebody gets saved on a plane and doesn't have a chance to get water baptized. As if God's a legalist and now they're going to hell, making the whole goal heaven versus hell instead of new life. Isn't it amazing how we're just always thinking insurance policy? And sometimes the best gospel we can preach, if you leave here tonight and you die and you hit a tree and don't know where you're going, maybe you better get that covered and pray this prayer. That's not how Jesus preached the gospel. It wasn't prayer in case you die tonight. It was, hey, you got a real deception going on in your life. You're living for yourself, but you're created for my image, and you didn't know that. So how about denying yourself so you can pick up your cross and never again let sin against you produce sin in you, but overcome evil with good instead of praying evil for evil? You can actually have answers now. So why don't you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and never let life decide who you are, because the giver of it is inside you deciding that, and now you're following me. That way you're not just singing to him and praying to him when you're overwhelmed. You're actually following him. And it's a big deal. Are you all good? Yeah. This is why we're saved. I'm going to wrap up, man. I'm going to just stop. But we're going to do something. We're going to pray for some folks, if that's okay. You all right? Because I'm being gentle with you guys. Like, it's 9:37, and I didn't even get up here till like late. You get some out of this tonight? Yeah, I'm not saying that for your applause, but here's how you let a message like this help you. You don't hear it for your spouse. You don't hear it for your neighbor. If you elbowed your spouse, I was definitely talking to you. And spouse, if you elbowed him back, well, then I was talking to the whole marriage. You know how we do that? You know how we sit there? People do it. They're like, man, I hope she's listening. People do that, man. They're like, I hope she's listening. I hope he's listening. I've had people tell them stories. They'll testify. They'll say, I've been praying for my husband for so long, and that preacher was in his stuff. And I looked, and he's in his wallet, and he was reading the card. He was checking out the date on his credit card and stuff like that. They'll be like, he was so distracted. I was sitting there praying off that spirit of distraction. And I'm like, I'm thinking the preacher was probably talking to you, honey. Because you're letting where he's not decide where you are. And that's probably a bigger issue. And now your whole emphasis in prayer is your husband changing instead of you being in love with Jesus and living like it. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm just saying. Well, you don't know the spouse I live with. Try to run that by Jesus. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Maybe you ought to run that by Jesus. Have you considered what he's been through? Completely, perfectly pure. Perfectly perfect. Never done nothing wrong, even slightly slanted. Straight up amazing. And died naked on a cross. As if he was the worst of the worst, and he never said a word. Maybe we ought to run some things by him instead of just raw, unredeemed emotion. We talk about living by faith, and people say, well, we all got emotions, brother. We got to get real. You can't get in denial. We got emotions. God gave us emotions. God did not, hear me clear, he did not give you and me the emotions we grew up with. Adam gave you those emotions. And they're all centered on a self-centered wellspring. So if you get self out of your life, anger has no place to land. You get self out of your life, discouragement has no place to settle. Come on. You get self-centered out of your life, opinions, jealousy, pride, competitiveness, frustration, need to be right, it all dies. You take away the runway, the plane can't land. So what's Jesus saying when he tells you to deny yourself? He's saying, die to the current motive of your life because that's the perversion you're living by. You think it's all about you, and the whole time it's been about my great name. And I've given you the honor to co-labor with me and run for my glory, for my great name. a race worthy of a prize. So would you deny yourself and stop living for the biggest lie you've ever served? You living for you when you're created for my image. Would you die to the old so you could live to the new? It's called born again.
Yay!
Doesn't that sound liberating? We sing songs about freedom. You'll never understand true freedom until you're free from living for you. I tell people one of the greatest measuring sticks of whether you're free from yourself is if you're free from others. I used to think God needed to change you. I used to think if he tweaked you, a little life would be better. Because I used to think some of you were really strange.
And I used to wonder why an almighty, all-powerful God doesn't just go bzz, 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 bzz,
bzz, bzz, bzz, and make people the way I think they should be.
And all of a sudden, my preference is Lord. And you're my excuse for not being okay.
You try to run that by Jesus and see if he thinks that way. You ain't going to get far. Do you know every person on the planet is worth his blood? Do you know there's not one thing on the planet that's insignificant concerning people? There's not one person insignificant. And how have we been deceived into thinking our lives don't matter? You run that by him and see if he believes that. You've been tricked into believing it. But he shed his blood to redeem the truth about your life. And the only reason you feel that it's insignificant is because you're living outside of that truth. If a seed never dies and ever falls to the ground, it abides alone. But if that seed would ever die and fall to the ground, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. If you're a Christian for you, you're in big trouble. Life is going to decide how you're doing. Circumstances will dominate your thought pattern. And in a time, you'll actually have the audacity to project on God and think somewhere he might have missed something too. If you're a Christian for you, you're already in trouble. Because there's no such thing in the Bible. You're a Christian for his great name. And if that's true, then your motive, your conduct, your responses, and your life matter a whole lot. Yes. So it can never be whatever. You just think how perverted things got. Love lays down its life. We've lived at the expense of each other. He said, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. We don't want to hear it, got a whole lot to say, and we're ticked off. Come on. He said, love one another. Man, we've had our issues. We love but, we love if, we love as long. We say, I love you. Do you love me? And all we're saying is, I love you for me, which isn't love at all. It's just, I need you. You're making my world work right now. Don't pull out. Don't jump ship. Don't break my heart. You're working for me. We say stuff like, you mean everything to me. I couldn't live without you. I don't know what I'd ever do if I lost you. I couldn't live. I couldn't survive without you. And people are flattered by that. And there's only one that's true towards. That's right. That's right. And it's emotionally deceived. And sometimes it's manipulated. Yep. And it's never the truth. It's not a flattery. It's a deception. My wife, she got cute with me one day. She was being... She just got a little sentimental. I said, no, I didn't. She said, we were talking and she said something came up something. I forget how it even got there. We got there. We were just having fun and we were talking. Something came up. She said, honey, she said, you know, if I ever lost you, if something ever happened to you, she said, I've always just said to God, please let me go before him. She said, honey, I don't even know what I'd do if I ever lost you. I mean, I don't even know. I wouldn't even be able to function. I just don't know what I'd do if I lost you. She was trying to be sweet, like, you mean so much to me that if something happened to you, I would be done. And I'm like, that's idolatry. She said, I don't know what. She's getting all sweet and she was getting close. She said, I just don't know what I'd do if something ever happened, if I lost you. I don't know what I'd ever do. I said, what are you talking about? I can tell you what you do. You'll go on, you'll love Jesus, fulfill your purpose, and do it with joy, and one day we'll rejoice and be glad you believed. She went, oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I would do. Come on. I'd rather stand in that kind of truth and high five than get some deceived, mushy kiss.
I just don't know what I'd ever do with it.
Knock it off, girl. It's idolatry. You're going to move forward, march like a woman of God. We're going to endure hardship as a good soldier. No one enlisted in the army of God ever again entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Where the sentiments of family and life concern, the most you can lose is physical time. Paul talks about all the sufferings and the price that he paid in the life he was living, and he called it at the end. He summarized it as a brief moment of light affliction. When you read Paul's list, most people have long backslid, gave up, and been mad at God. He called it a brief moment of light affliction when compared to the eternal weight of his glory when he comes. When you compare it to what it's really all about and what we're living for. See, that's the faith. When I stood up my brother, we're living by the faith. That's the faith, a perspective that takes us to the end. And we ain't backing off. We're moving forward. Are you with me? Good. We can live this thing, guys. Listen, if I preach this thing tonight and you got convicted on some things, that's great. You don't need to always think, well, I've been backslid. Some people just need more understanding. They need to run with their understanding. If you haven't been living out your understanding, just go, duh. What was I doing, man? Why do I find myself getting tricked, letting things matter more than what matters most? I don't need to even call you up here. Let your heart be your order. Let your own conscience. You be your own best accountability partner. Come on, if you need somebody to call you every day to make sure you're doing okay in Jesus, you probably need to look at your heart anyway. I understand addictions and walking people through stuff. I get that. But just keeping tabs on you to make sure you're doing good. Hey, did you read your Bible? That's weird. I just turned you into a Christian robot. Yes, I read my Bible. Okay. Yeah, I could tell. I see the great joy. I don't read my Bible, guys, because it's the Christian thing to do. I read my Bible so I can know him more because I love him. I read my Bible to know him more. I have never even read my Bible to preach a sermon. The Lord told me a long time ago, don't ever read your Bible to preach. He said, only read your Bible to know me and only ever speak out of who I am in your life, and that'll carry weight. And I said, okay. So I've never read my Bible to preach a sermon. I've just read my Bible to know him. And then when you get up here, you just open up who you are in him, and you always carry a message.
So you're always ready. So you were on when you're on a plane and they say, how are you doing? You have a message. It's already programmed in you. But it's not a robot.
It's your relationship. You with me? So we can live this thing, right? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. If you've never been born again, If you've never been, I'm not talking about backslidden. I'm talking if you've somehow you got in here and you've never been born again. Seriously, I don't, yeah, you were probably really struggling during worship. No, seriously. It happens in a service like this, in a church like this, there's people that come, they get here, they've never been born again. Like they've never understood what we're preaching. They've never been born again. They've never been like, duh, I've been living for myself. Yeah, I always think everything else is my problem. And yeah, I'm mad at this and that and the other. And I'm telling you, you don't have to live that way. You get born again. You put off yourself. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross. And your cross has to do with your calling, walking through life. You're in the world. You're not of the world. So you're going to taxi through life and not let life decide who you are when the giver of it has already established that truth. So you're never going to let sin against you give the right to pursue, to produce sin in you. You're not going to repay evil for evil. You're going to overcome evil with good. That's a part of carrying your cross. And if you're carrying your cross, you're following him. Are you with me? So if you've never been born again, you can get born again. Really, without dramatic, without music, you could just say, man, I've never, ever said, Jesus, would you be my Lord? I want to deny myself. I want to get born again. If you're here, I'll give you that opportunity right now. And I say, why don't you do that right now? We'll water baptize you. We'll make it happen, won't we? Okay, see, I love these guys. Sometimes I do this, I'm in a church and I'm a little nervous, pastor, I'm like, I hope we can make this happen. And they're like, oh, we'll figure something out. He's like, yeah, we can make it happen. No, we'll water baptize you. And if they let me get involved, I'll hold you under till every bubble stops. I'll so make sure you're dead. I'll just hold you down. About 40 seconds after the last one of them, you just time it, 40 seconds after the last one, you got them. They're gone. And that's where you better have faith. You bring them up, new life. And if they don't, you know where they are. It's good. It's good. Real quick, I'm not taking long with this because you know if it's you, I don't have to beg, I don't have to plead. You say, what must I do to be saved? I'm telling you. You say, well, why do I have to say, can't I just go home and be saved? Well, you probably could. Why wouldn't you let us just celebrate like crazy and go nuts? That you want to get born again and give your life, and we can all pray for you and believe for you, and we won't embarrass you. We'll rejoice with you. And then we'll get you water baptized and make sure you're dead so you can live. No. We don't hold, that's a joke. We don't hold you under the bubble stop. The truth is Jesus had to hang and die on a cross, and in about a second and a half of sincerity, we go under the water and step into everything he paid for. It's rare that I even have a call like that, really, because the truth I preach, I just trust Holy Spirit, and every once in a while I feel like I should give that little invite. So I'm just doing it. Is there somebody that got in here tonight? You've never been born again, and you say, you know what, I realized tonight when you're talking, I've been my own worst enemy. I'm blaming everything on everybody else. My heart's been hard and angry and frustrated. It's time to let that all go and live what he paid for and become what he purchased. Is there anybody, just one person that would say, I've never, ever, I'm not talking about backslid. I've never been born again. I need to get right with God. Anybody? Real quick, do it quick. I'm not going to stay here long. So that means everybody knows Jesus. Is that what that means? Yeah? Real quick, I see now I'm starting to feel like there's a man in here that needs to say it's me and just be bold. So I'm feeling that now in my heart. Is there a guy here that you want to get saved? It's time. You just want to do it now. I'll pray with you. The pastors will come up and surround you. We'll make sure you get water baptized. Yay? No? You here? Okay. Okay. That's, what was that? 9:55. What was that other thing that flashed on the clock? What's the clock do? It says 7:12. What? Oh! I always wanted that Joshua thing, and I thought, it's finally come. On the night of eternal worship, Joshua thing. That's
I looked up and said 7:12. I thought the sound men manipulated the clock. And then it went back to reality, 9:56 now. 12, the date. Duh. See, I told you I'm not a very educated man. Now the Lord had to prove it. Let's do something fun tonight. How about if we pray for the sick? It won't take long. It really won't take crazy long. But it'll be fun. And I know if you come here, you understand faith and praying for the sick. Not everybody comes here. I want everybody involved. I don't want you to bow out. I don't want you to leave if you can stay. I want you to participate. And if you do need healing in your body tonight, I don't want you to not let us know. Don't just sit there and say, I'm not going to bother. Okay? So when you pray for the sick, there's two things you run into, a whole lot of different sicknesses, but there's two things you'll run into. You'll run into people, because what I would really love if we'd just all start praying for the sick.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, wherever we are.
Yeah.
I mean, wherever we are. Most of the time, the worst I can do is say, no, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I guess they could pull out a 9mm and shoot you, but I mean, if you really get detailed. But probably the worst they'll do is say, no, thank you. Or, no, no. And think you're selling something, because we've been notorious for soliciting people. But wonder if you sincerely just approach them and you care and you see they're wearing a brace and you say, hey, what'd you do to your arm? You ladies could get away with it so easy. Just you ladies are different. You ladies are amazing. You are. You could be in the grocery store and just, hey. You could be shopping through the clothes and the face just pops in on the other side of the rack. But you just chat like you're girlfriends, like you knew each other for... I talk about the restroom. I'm not going there tonight. But in the bathroom, I found out that ladies talk to each other in the bathroom, hang out, have potpourri and flowers in there, and they're talking through the stalls. The kids are crawling up the wrong legs. And then they're like, oh, you're not my mama. I found this out. That would never happen in a men's room. That would freak men out. Sitting in the stalls, talking through the stalls, never in a men's room. Men's room, you go in, you get out. You stand, you look at a brick right in front of you. You don't look this way or that way. That's trouble. You look at the brick in front of you, and you stand close. Could you imagine what would happen if you'd say, hey guys, how's everybody? Ah! Ah! Wouldn't that happen in a men's room? Freaked out. We could be walking, talking, hit the men's room door, stop. You just, everything gets quiet. Am I telling the truth? You ladies are in the ladies' room, talking through the stalls. Freaks me out. We need to get free. I like messing up the men's room. I like getting up there to my urinal. Hey, everybody doing good? How y'all doing? Y'all loving Jesus? That's all right. I ain't looking. Jesus loves you. Everybody pressing tight. It's just so funny. You ladies, you could be in a shopping place and you just see her picking up the juice can. She put it in her cart and she makes winces. Anybody ever see anything like that? You just wince and they go like this, and then they just keep shopping. Anybody ever see anything like that? Just something like that, where you knew something was wrong, and you slip over and you say, "Hey, honey, look, I don't want to be nosy. I just saw what's going on in your wrist. I saw you pick up the juice can." It just looked like you were in pain. Oh, I didn't mean it. No, I just noticed it, honey. What? I care. What it? I think it's carpal tunnel. I'm not sure. I haven't had it checked, but like right now it's stinging. Right now? Yeah, right now it's stinging. Listen, just give me your hand, honey. No, it's nothing weird. Just give me your hand. We're in the supermarket. Just give me your hand. She don't know what you're doing. She might have just enough Christian background that if you tell her, she'll try to talk you out of it.
Yep.
So sometimes you just got to get the hand. And make it too late.
Because the Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, believing, they shall recover. Now, I'll bet you if you start doing this in the supermarket with somebody you don't even know and you take them steps of faith and you're a Christian Nike commercial and you're just doing it, I'll bet you there's some belief stirring in your heart. And all of a sudden, you just take her hand. She don't even know what's coming. You didn't even mention Jesus yet. You didn't preach at her. I just read Luke 10 says, whatever city you're in. What city? Heal the sick there. What sick? The. So we got a whatever and a the. I bet it works. I bet she qualifies. I bet wherever I am, whoever it is, it fits. And you just say to her, say, honey, can I see your hand? And she doesn't even know what you're doing. And she holds her hand out and you just take it real light. Father, I just thank you for your amazing love. Pain, you leave right now in the authority of Jesus' name. And don't you ever come back. That's what you do. Now, you know what we're afraid of, and you know why we don't do that? We're afraid nothing will happen. So because we're afraid nothing will happen, we never do this. So because we never do this, we always have what we're afraid of. We always... Was Goliath defeated before he ever shouted at the armies of Israel? Would Goliath have already been cut down? If they'd have just stepped out of their tents and faced the uncircumcised Philistine without fear, he'd have been cut down. Instead, he mocked them for 40 days. He came and he mocked them, and they lost by default because nobody faced him and he was already defeated. We don't pray for people because we're afraid nothing will happen. And because we don't pray, we already have nothing. And the thing we fear is what we have. See, we got to stop making it about us. We got to make it about his great name and people. So if I pray for her in the store, we're afraid that she says, no, my hand still hurts. That's what we're afraid of. But you shouldn't be afraid of that. If love never fails, we should be afraid to fail to love. See, I'm not, my priority isn't, oh no, wonder if her pain doesn't go away. My priority is, wonder if I fail to love. Wonder if I fail to love. I'm looking at a lot of faces right now. There's a sphere of influence we all have. The impact is immeasurable if we all just start to love. If you get out of yourself and get into him and just take somebody's hand somewhere along the way, you just encourage. You just see somebody and you realize they got to be going through it. And you say, man, talk to me. I know it's going to seem like I'm nosy, but you look like you're carrying weight. You ever see somebody that's just burdened? You know they're burdened. Man, you say, what's going on in your family? What's going on? Is it your marriage right now? It's your children? What? It's something about your family. Well, no, man, I don't want to get in. No, listen, I could see it on you. And I care. I wouldn't be stopping. Listen, if you don't want to tell me, could I at least just pray for you? Whew. The whole time they're wondering what you're selling. The whole time they're wondering what church you're inviting them to. The whole time they're waiting for you to try to get them to repeat your prayer. But all you do is sincerely love and pray and minister. And when you walk away, they might finally get free because they realize you're walking away and you didn't try to sell them nothing. And all of a sudden, you just sowed the most vital seed maybe that's ever been sown in their life. That there's a such thing as sincerity on the earth and people actually genuinely care about others. And it ain't what's in it for you. Wonder if the guy goes and gets in his car and he can't get it out of his mind. And he says, man, that's crazy. It's almost like they cared for me. Now the presence of Jesus is in the car and he speaks to their heart and says, I've cared for you from the beginning. And now they're overwhelmed and undone because somebody took time to sow a seed. See, the kingdom of God is as if a man scatters seed. Some sow and some water, but it's God that gives the increase. You don't know if you're over here with this man. You don't know if you're sowing. You don't know if you're watering, but you know you're loving. Wonder if we'd all just say, I'm going to start living that way because I'm dead to myself and alive unto him. Wonder if we just start loving somebody along the way, just one here and one there, multiplied by all these faces times a month, 6 months, a year. Oh, that sure beats just doing a service. That sure beats just going to church when you can be her.
What's the reason we gather anyway?
To stir one another up in love and good works.
So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray for the sick because that's what believers do. We're not going to get in a theological discussion. We're just going to pray for the sick because my Bible says if you believe, there's a sign that will follow your life. You will pray for the sick. It's not even talk about them being healed first. A believer will pray for the sick. Why? He believes. And he's going to lay his hands on the sick and then the sick will what? You say, wonder if they don't recover. Okay, so I take her hand in the store. Our worst fear is saying, how's it feel, honey? Check it. And she look at you and say, well, actually, it still stings like it did. That's our worst fear. And you say, well, listen, do you have one second? I just want to just speak a couple things over you one more time. I just want to establish something and I'll just talk to you for a second. Or are you in a hurry? Well, actually, I need to keep moving. I got to get going. I'm in a little bit of a schedule, not trying to get away. Okay, ma'am. Well, listen, I'm really honored that you let me pray with you. I'm just growing in a truth that I'm pursuing. And God's just showing me that everybody matters and he paid a price. And he said, if I believe, I'll be laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. I really, with all my heart, thank you for letting me pray. And I'm asking you, you keep checking on that hand. And you just keep thinking about that hand and what just happened here and God's love for you. I'm telling you, girl, later tonight you're at home and you realize there ain't no stinging. You wake up in the middle of the night and use the restroom and realize it ain't hurting. You live all day tomorrow and go, it never had no pain. You're going to know. It's because we prayed. He loves you. Man, he loves you. And you just walk away. You release your faith and you walk away. You don't walk away and say, now I wonder why she didn't get healed. I wonder where my anointing is. I wonder what I did wrong. And all of a sudden, it's all about you again. It's all about your feelings again. And now you're discouraged. But if you're really living in faith, you're proclaiming, you're believing, you're expecting, you're prophesying, don't even realize it. You bump into this lady. This happened to me in my hometown. You bump into this lady 4 weeks later. I could tell you real stories for a long time because I put my hands on a few folks. All of a sudden, you bump into her, and she recognizes you. She says, hey, excuse me, yeah. Do you remember me? I said, boy, I probably prayed for you. Yes, about 4 weeks ago, my hand. Oh, I remember, yeah. Well, listen, I was wondering if I'd ever see you again. Do you know that all went away? It was a day, maybe 2 days later, I realized it was gone. It's never come back. And then, wonder if you set the table for that. I tell people, listen, they say, oh, I don't know. I say, listen, if they find out and realize I won't pray for them. Now, then I say, listen, why would you say no? We pray the worst that can happen is nothing. If we don't pray, you already got that. Would you just let me pray? I've had people on the street say, well, I don't even believe in healing. Not asking you to. Just asking if I could pray. Why? Because I believe. I don't need them to believe. I just want to get their hand. I've had people say, well, I don't even believe in Jesus. It's all right. Who knows your ultimate goal is you want them to believe in Jesus. But my number one goal to stopping them isn't to get them to believe in Jesus. It's to love them sincerely and be a vital seed in their life in the process of them coming to him. So whatever city you're in, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom of God is here. Sounds like a pretty good plan to me. So when they do get healed and they say, what the blank did you just do? Oh, that's happened many times. Are you blanking kidding me? No, friend, it's not a joke. What did you just do to me? I didn't do anything, but about 2,000 years ago, somebody did something amazing. And they're standing there going, what? Now their ears are wider than they've ever been before.
their heart is in a place it's never been.
And you get to be a part of that. Are you with me? Here's what we want to do tonight. There's people out there like the lady that I used as an example in the store. She's got the pain. You're praying. You ask her how much it hurts, pain levels, and you find out if it's better. There's a lot of people you'll pray for. You just hear them in the line talking about a migraine that they thought they were going to have today because it's about time, because it's been coming a lot. You ever hear somebody talking like that? I was in an airport a while back, and a guy was talking about all the meds he's taking because of the reoccurring headaches. Thank God I don't have one now, but man, they've been hitting me hard, and I feel drugged up, and he's just talking. As soon as the guy he was talking to slipped away, I just said, hey, bud, excuse me. Look, I'm getting on the same plane. I know you're going to board here, too, and we got a little while to board. I just heard you talk about, man, that just hurt my heart for you. Oh, he said, it's been hell, man. It's been tough. I said, yeah, I could get that. I said, listen, I want you to give me your hand. What? Just give me your hand, man. I'm going to pray with you. Please don't say no. You got nothing to lose, friend. I'm not trying to sell you a thing. I'm believing if you give me your hand, we'll pray, and they'll never return, and this will be a sign to you. He's real, and he loves you. That's all there is to it. Just give me your hand. Let's pray. I was real serious. He just went, gave me his hand. Prayed short, to the point. Didn't pray for a half hour, making more uncomfortable. Just bam. Nobody even knew what we did. I said, God bless you, man. I reached in, hugged him. He gave me an arm hug back, like a half hug. And I headed over to my seat and minding my own business. Here's what I do know. If I don't sow, ain't nothing growing.
Yeah.
We're always praying for our cities. Why don't we sow into them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tonight, we're just going to get a little jumpstart step. You're going to pray for people out there. They won't even know if they were healed because they have no symptoms in the moment. It's something that comes and goes. They'll need a test. They'll need time. There's people like that in the room tonight. We'll do it quickly. It won't be ineffectively. We'll do it quickly. If you have a condition in your body, and right now, if you were healed, you'd have no way to verify or testify because you'd need a test, time, an x-ray, or whatever. It's just that your condition comes and goes, or it's not detectable, but it's there. I need to see your hands right where you're at. And please don't not raise your hand. Don't come this far and not go all the way with me. God's doing way too much to not get involved. Get your hand up. Get your hand up. I need whoever else I'm waiting on. Get your hand up. If you're sitting behind somebody or beside somebody with their hand up, just tap them and say, hey, I'm going to believe with you right now. I'm going to agree. And I want you to get involved right where you're sitting. Just get involved. Tap somebody. Say, hey, I'm going to agree with you. That's all it looks like. It just looks like this. You just say, hey, I'm going to agree with you. There already. You guys agree. You don't even have to ask them what it is. Here's what I want you to do. Believe. Just have fun with me tonight. Believe it's the will of God to heal. Believe that Jesus paid a price to restore people. That the same way he forgives sin is the same way he restores people's bodies and lives, right? So right now, I just want you to say this. Say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be sincere and just believe he loves them. If you raised your hand, just believe he loves you. You don't have to try to get in receive mode. Just believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Be healed in Jesus' name. That's all I want you to say over him. Not one more symptom, not one more trace of sickness. That this condition you raised your hand for would be completely gone in your life and never return. In Jesus' name. Complete wholeness because he loves you. Pray that over him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's easy. Come on. That's simple. We can all believe that. Okay. Here's what we're going to do quick. So if we just did that, the people that didn't know, what's our next group? People that would know. So you got a condition. You would know. You're bone on bone. You can't see out of an eye. You can't hear out of an ear. You got something that if you were healed, you would know you're healed.
You got something tore in your shoulder, and that's about as high as you can go, or you can't go the whole way up without a grind and and that thing biting you. That's what I'm talking about, stuff like that. You got a hip that they're telling you is going bad, and you're going to have to get it replaced. And every step, it's just saying replacement, replacement, replacement. We want to pray for you tonight. Anything less than wholeness, that if you were healed, without exaggeration, without them motivating you, not that you're doing anything wrong. What I'm saying is emotional, without exaggeration. I'm saying taking your time and really checking that thing, because we're not looking for the right answer. We want you well. We're going to have you check your bodies. And Jesus is going to do a whole lot of cool things in the room tonight. He likes when we do this. He talked to me a long time ago about doing this way. I used to just pray for everybody, be a madman, flow in my giftings and enjoy it. Then you know what happens? It makes you a hero, makes you gifted, and you have a healing ministry. And nobody's getting empowered, and nobody's walking in what you're seeing. So I'm not going to call everybody up here and do that. You watch and see what he does in this room tonight. He really likes it when you believe he's a healer, and he really likes it when people agree with that. Yeah? So here's what I need you to do. If you have a condition in your body tonight that's less than wholeness, I need you to stand to your feet. If you can't stand, make sure I know who you are and stay sitting and wave your hand if you can't stand. In the back? Okay. Wow, I didn't even know you were, realize you were there. Okay. There's a young lady sitting in a chair in the middle of the aisle waving her hand. She's in a wheelchair. Don't ever determine a situation, intensity of a situation, by what it appears, a wheelchair, whatever. Here's the reality, okay? I want us to all grow in this. A paralyzed limb or a headache, the same exact price was paid for both. To Jesus, there's no difference. To us, there seems to be. One of the greatest ways to challenge that is to go after stuff and believe God to bring change in situations. Are you hearing me? So you people that stood up, you would know it if you're healed. You'd absolutely be able to check without exaggeration, without over emotion. You'd be able to legitimately check your bodies and determine change. Is that true? Do I have everybody standing that needs to be standing? Do I have everybody standing? Please stand when I say this. I'm not fishing right now in the sense of just trying to get somebody to respond. We got plenty of people to pray for. I'm actually hearing this. You have arthritis symptoms and you feel it in your body right now. There's things you can check that you can tell are arthritic symptoms, and you're still sitting in your chair. There's at least five of you. I actually think there's six. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Good. Now watch. Thank you. Take 7. That's a complete number. Why would I take my time and listen and feel like we're not quite ready and hear that in the Lord if this wasn't real? We already got plenty of people to pray for. We're not doing like an altar call. We're believing for what he paid for, and everybody matters. So we're ready to do this, and the Lord's saying to me, not everybody's up that I need up. Yeah? There's one person sitting here. You're super fatigued. You've been that way for several weeks. Super fatigued. You feel that way now. You're more fatigued than normal. Okay, no, you'll fit there, but you were still sitting. That fits you. Okay, good. Not good, but I'm glad you responded. Jesus. Okay, I feel good now. We were waiting on you. We just weren't ready until you stood. So we got everybody now. I feel good to go. Okay, here's what we're going to do. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. You say, I'm not qualified. That qualifies you right there. Because all you need to do tonight, there's no way to mess this up. Here's how you would mess this up. If you go try to pray a powerful prayer, an anointed prayer, or a right prayer. Who's ever prayed for the sick and you found yourself more focused on what you were praying than what you were believing? And you tried to pray the right prayer. That's called works. That's self-conscious. That's a good reason why there's very little movement when we pray. Watch. Be healed in Jesus' name is probably plenty when there's a revelation of his love for this man. You follow this. Be healed in Jesus' name is probably plenty. Rather than, Father, I just thank you right now, and blah, 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 and pulling out three scriptures that rev you. Ha, he, ha, whoa. Haven't we been caught doing that in our lives? So here's what we're going to do tonight. You're going to find somebody. They're going to be your own. If this is the first time you've ever prayed for the sick like this, you can even smile and tell them, I've never done this before. And you can say, praise the Lord. Why? Because they won't be self-confident and they won't put any trust or faith in themselves. If you're nervous about participating, I can't make you, I'm not controlling you. If you feel nervous, you have no idea how much I want you on my team. If you're nervous about praying for the person, please get on my roster. Okay? If you just flat out say, I don't want to do this, that's your privilege. But I strongly encourage you because this is how we step out and grow and increase and see how simple things are. I'm only going to give you 6 seconds to pray. That's for your sake. And then I'm going to cut you off and say, stop. And it's not going to run out, Holy Spirit. He's not going to get mad at me. I'm going to give you 6 seconds because you can't even get self-conscious and mess up in 6 seconds. Because watch this. If they say they got a torn rotator cuff and they can't lift their arm past this, watch. Rotator cuff, you be completely healed. No more pain in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your love. Who knows you can do that in 4 seconds? If they tell you they're bone on bone in their knees and they're having a hard time and it bites them every time they bend and turn and flex, knees, you be completely healed and restored, complete cartilage. Father, thank you for brand new knees in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in less than 6 seconds? Put all your faith in him and his ability, and you just believe. Who knows we can do this tonight? He likes it that you stood up. He likes that people are going to join you. I need your hand real high if you stood up so we don't lose you in the crowd. Put your hand real high if you stood up for prayer. Don't forget the little girl back in the aisle back there, somebody. I want you to get up out of your seat and go claim somebody. As soon as they, don't pray yet. We're going to do it together. Don't pray yet. Just go claim them. Say, hey, you're mine tonight. Just have fun. Break the ice. Hey, I'm claiming you. As soon as they claim you, put your hand down. Put your hand down. Leave it up if they didn't get to you yet. But as soon as they get to you, put your hand down. Put your hand down if they claimed you. Right back there by the door, I got a man in a red t-shirt. I got this, his shirt says. Come on, somebody say, I got this. Jesus' name. They coming? Did they get you, sir? Are you waiting? Good. I got one more gentleman right here. I see his hand up. Good. Thank you, son. Are we covered? You still need somebody? Yeah? Good. You got him? Right here. I got a guy right. Thank you, my man. How about back there? That guy in the plaid. See him? He's still waiting. Thanks. Y'all good? Is everybody accounted for? If you don't have somebody, make sure I know it. He's okay. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You know how much I like you guys? I never play music when I do this, and I couldn't stop you. No, I want you to do it. I would have stopped you if I thought it was important. I just like you guys so much. You guys are the best. You tore me up tonight. Just tore me up. It's so good. Keep just loving him with all your heart and lead people in to what's real in you. Yeah? So lead people into what's real in you. You're not leading worship. You're opening the door of your intimacy
and you're letting them in. Because unless you're really worshipers, how could you lead in worship? So keep being in love, and then open the door to your bedroom.
Yeah.
Not your bedroom, but yeah?
Yeah.
That's what's awesome. I saw that tonight, and it blessed my heart. So when you all got up there, I thought, because I always say, listen, we're not going to use any music because you won't have music in the Walmart parking lot. But I thought, while we can have you, we're going to have you.
So keep doing whatever you're doing now.
Are you all ready? Take 3 seconds. You said, I thought 6. Just take 3 seconds. Tell the person why you stood. 3-second version. It shouldn't take long. Just tell them in 3 seconds what they're praying for. There's a reason. Tell them real quick. You should be done. Everybody done? Yay. You got it? Okay. Now watch. Here's why we did that. Matthew 17. Faith will say to the mountain, move. And what's the mountain going to do? Move. So if they told you, hey, I was one that stood up with the arthritis pains that are in my body right now. I got it here, there, it's throbbing. Arthritis, you leave. All pain, you go. And don't you ever come back in Jesus' name. Who knows? We can believe that with sincerity and trust Holy Spirit to come and make a difference. Who knows? This thing is not that complicated. Yeah? Okay. So everybody knows what they're praying for? We're going to pray. You got 6 seconds. When I tell you to go, we're going to do this as a family. I know you don't believe this, but I'm not going to say nothing for 6 seconds. I can handle it. 6 seconds, though, you're getting my voice again. I'm going to cut y'all off and say, okay, wrap it up. And then graciously, you just wrap it up in Jesus' name. I usually say stuff like this, not because it's works, because I think sometimes we just need to believe God's love a little more. So sometimes I'll just say, Father, thank you in Jesus' name, because you love them so much. And I just throw a big because you love them so much in there. Yeah? That's just where my faith is. You don't have to do that. Jesus' name is where it's at. And then what we're going to do, you're going to take about two actual seconds when they say amen, and we wrap it up, and you're just going to thank him that he loves you in your heart, or he'd have never sent his son. And then I want you to legitimately check your bodies, whatever that means to you. I do not want exaggeration. I do not want you to say the right thing to make the young girl with the big brown eyes that prayed for you feel better. That would be called lying. I want you to tell us what's going on. So I'm going to ask who's healed. I want to know who's healed in the sense of right now, I can tell that thing is not there. We'll probably get a few testimonies. Now watch. If you feel somewhat changed, well, that's awesome too, right? And you're like, okay, wow. You could even tell your person, hey, I didn't raise my hand, but man, I'm 60% better. Would you pray one more time? I'm 60%. I'm telling you, it's 60% better. Be rejoicing that. Don't say, I wonder why I only got a 60% anointing. Just believe again and don't shift your prayer. Pray the same thing. We're going to take a few testimonies. Now watch. If you feel nothing change in your body, you shouldn't be saying that. It's happened to me when I've prayed for people. It's happened to me on the streets. It's happened to me. Let's just be real. We pray for the sick. We see things change immediately. We see things sometimes change somewhat, and we see things that don't seem to change in that moment. Why? We're learning. We're growing. We ain't changing our mind. If something doesn't change in your body, don't sign off. Don't say, oh, I knew I shouldn't have stood. Every time I stand, nothing ever happens. And then there's 20 testimonies, and I'm the one that done it. Stop. Not tonight. Don't go there. Don't go there ever. Here's what you do. You listen to a few testimonies. Keep your heart in a healthy, thankful place, because Christians have one response. God, thank you for what you're doing in me. Thank you for loving me. God, I'm so encouraged. Your grace is so good to me. Thank you for what you're doing in my body. That's not denial. That's not some faith confession. That's what you believe. You don't turn faith into a point in time, hit, miss, win, lose. Faith is the position of your heart to believe what he paid for. So listen to a few testimonies. Check your body in thankfulness as you hear a few testimonies and you watch what will happen in this room. People that nothing changed after 2-3 testimonies, pop, bam, pop, and like a bag of popcorn, you'll just see things start changing in the room. You watch and see. He's going to do a lot of cool things in here. What I'm looking at right now, he really likes this. He likes that I'm not going to talk for the next 6 seconds. He likes that you're going to believe over your person. Are you ready? Look at them with goo-goo eyes or something and make them feel funny like they're really loved or special. Or I'm just having fun. Are you all ready? You ready to pray? 6 seconds believing? Are you ready? Go ahead. 6 seconds. Give them the kingdom right now. Okay, begin to wrap that up right now. Just wrap that up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you love them. Go ahead, wrap that up. Wow, that's good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank him right now if you were prayed for. Before you even check your body, just thank him that he loves you. Believe that, or he'd never, ever send his son. Yeah, go ahead. Check your bodies all over the room. Take your time. Make sure that you're sure before you testify. I don't want no quick out of the gun, woo, and then later say, well, check your bodies right now. Take your time. Really check them. As soon as you know you're healed, let me know. I want to know who you are as soon as you know you're healed. Wave your arm like this when you know, so I know. You know? You're healed? Yeah? Good. Somebody else? You know you're healed for sure? Good. Soon as you know, check, and then let me know that you know. Yeah? Two of you or one? Okay, you were praying. For sure? For sure. Good. Right here? Yeah? Oh, you look healed. You just look good. You can just, I love expressions. You? Your body changed for sure. You took your time, checked it out. Good, good, good. Who else? Anybody else? For sure. That's awesome. Come on, things are happening. Yeah? Yeah? Mom inspiring you to raise your hand up there? You're not embarrassed, are you? I ain't gonna make you preach. You know you were healed for what we prayed for? What was it in a young man like you? You want to speak for him? Okay. He can hear? Did you check it? How do you know? Can you just tell? You can just hear? Did you block your other wind? Did you check? You were born that way? And you just hear in there? Yeah, I'm just trying to understand. I've seen a lot of deaf ears open. I just want to make sure I'm getting this story right. This young man, born deaf in his left ear, told his mom it opened and he can hear in his ear. Good. Who else wants to share? What happened in the room tonight? Yeah, what's going on, kiddo? Okay. Okay, yeah. Wow. You know what you're going to do tonight, right? No, seriously. You go lay on your right side, okay? And you say, Father, thank you for loving me. That's all you do. Father, thank you for loving me, making yourself so real to me and loving me so much. And you curl up on that right side. I'm telling you, you're going to sleep like his girl. And then you go ahead and wake up on your right side. And you're going to see like 7 hours goes by. And you'll be like, okay, it's your privilege. There you go. You want 8? You take 8. You take 8. Talk to him tonight and thank him for what he's doing in you. Okay? Who else wants to share? Keep checking your bodies. Who said I was healed? I know there was a bunch of hands. Talk to me. Yeah, you were?
To even see
to go back over that way. It was so, it was hurt and stiff.
And to worship and put my hands up and stuff. It was killing me to worship and keep my head up and looking at the sky.
You have no limitations.
My range of
Jesus! Come on! Now here's what you do sometimes when you pray for somebody, okay? You say, Father, thank you for what you've done. And Father, I thank you this will never, ever, ever come back. In Jesus' name. Are you with us here? Yeah? Amen. Somebody else. You know you were healed when we prayed. I saw a bunch of hands. Somebody talk to me. And if you didn't feel any change, thank God that he's healing. Thank God for what he's doing. And check your body again. Somebody else, who knows they were healed? Yeah, go ahead. Yep, jump up and shout it out. I'll help them hear you. How many years? 30 years ago. This already sounds like a Bible story. Because you've been prayed for, and the pain's always there, so it's always easy to know and find. Yeah. You have no trace of what you had for 30 years. Now watch. Now watch. You've been prayed for a lot. You weren't even going to stand up because, here we go again, I've been up so many times. Watch. The simplicity we're praying in has nothing to do with me, the anointing. People say, well, brother, you just need to face it. You carry some and everybody's under the umbrella of your anointing. They try to explain things that way. No, no, no. Here's what we're doing. We're keeping it so simple. So simple that all of us are in. We all carry an anointing because we're all called to believe. And I'm telling you, Jesus likes this. So she's prayed for how many times in 30 years? She stands up in 6 seconds of super simplicity. Boop.
And it's not because anointed Dan Moeller laid his hand on her body.
It's because we're keeping it simple and we're believing like children. Are you with me? Who else? Another testimony was right there. Oh, yeah? Yeah. This guy right here. You telling me Jesus lives in you, sir? You feeling good?
Yeah.
Here, give me your hand. Stretch your hands to this man. Father, that he would never, ever, ever again feel a symptom of arthritis in his fingers or his body, that he could play those strings and play those strings and play them unto you like never before. Father, I'm even asking for just a sound of intimacy, just a new sound, just a fresh sound. Let it come out of that guitar when he strums. Yep, let what he feels in his heart come out when he plays. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Anybody else, you want to share a testimony? Something happened when we prayed. Yeah, you look excited.
Yeah, you ain't making this one up, are you? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Why'd you do that, dear? No, never mind. Just,
yeah, yeah.
You have no symptoms, no pain, no limit, and it's been bugging you. It's been a bother. So it would be easy to check it. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Amen. Yeah. She had what she thought was carpal tunnel. It's actually tendonitis. Okay. Yeah.
Even as she just grabbed my arm,
It just came alive. Wow. You keep checking it. And it's not wrong. I want you to keep checking it out. When you testify, I want you to be sure. So this is not what you've been experiencing. It's never been like this since it happened.
You prayed for it, didn't you? Are you excited? Yeah.
Wonder if we start just loving people like this wherever we are in little 6-second boinks. We call them Holy Spirit drive-bys. Just boink. You just don't have to preach to everybody. You don't just pray for them. Boom. And if they want to continue, if they want to open up, if they want more, let them pursue more. Let them say, hey, let them ask the questions. It's like we always get aggressive, take the initiative, and we're always going for a head nod. Why don't we grab somebody and touch them in a felt need and watch Jesus change something, shift something. Let them see we're sincere and we care and we actually believe. Wonder if we start doing what we just did tonight. Wherever we are, the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. Yeah? Who's in this room? You're still checking your body right up until now, and nothing's changed. Symptomatically, it's the same exact pain, symptom, limitation that was there before anybody prayed. Let me see your hands. Don't be ashamed. Let me see your hands. Look around. Is anybody with their hand up your person? Don't ask for another person. You're not getting another person. Is your person here? Do you see? Is that your person? Can you go get them? Your person. If that's your person, go get them. Don't pray yet. Just go get them. Go claim them. Say, hey, I'm back. Go back to get your person. Here's what I want to do. Just one time. Just one time. I want to do this just one time. Let's just see. Let's just see what happens. Here's what I want you to do. There's still a young man with his hand up back there. Oh, you got him? Are you his person, original person? Good. He didn't like shift on you, right? Okay. See, because sometimes I know how we are. We'll be looking and say, wow, that little girl prayed for her. And ooh, I want that girl. That's what we think. But here's what I want you to do. Don't change your prayer. Pretty much whatever you prayed that first time believing, I want you to pray this time. Same prayer. Don't grab for straws. That's works. See, when we do that, who knows what I mean? Second time around, you try to get more creative. You try to quote an extra scripture, change the color of the flag, blow a different note. That's works. It's his finished work. Whatever you believe that first time in them 6 seconds, I want you to believe the same thing. Pretty much pray the same thing and thank God for what he's doing. You thank God for loving you. I want you all to check your bodies. Let me see how many we are doing again, just so I have an idea who we're praying for. Y'all got your people? Y'all got your people. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's at least 20 people we're going to pray for right now. 6 more seconds. I want you to check your bodies and let's see what changes in somebody. Okay? You ready? Go ahead. Sincerely. Pray for him right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, start to wrap that up right now. That's good. We're just going to see what Jesus does, and that faith's not a point in time. It's not, does he heal? Didn't he heal? Why didn't he heal? Did he heal? Didn't he heal? Faith is a position of your heart. We're just going to keep on believing here. Okay, wrap it up. Now, thank God he loves you. I want you to check your bodies one more time, sincerely, with no exaggeration. I got about 20 people I'm talking to. Just bear with me. I know it's late. Check your bodies. I want to see who's changed it all that time. Something changed that time. Something changed over there? Who'd you pray for? Or is it with you? With her? Is she speaking for you? Did something change? Oh, you were praying for something else. And it changed that time? And it didn't the first time? Oh, a little bit. Okay. 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 Check your bodies. Let me see my 20 folks or whatever. Anything changing in my people?
Go like this if some changed that time. Some changed? Somewhat. Just somewhat. 50%. Around that? 40 to 50. Completely or somewhat? Completely. Okay. Nothing up until now. Nothing up until now at all. And that time completely changed. Guys, what's that teach you? That faith is not a point in time. Faith's the position of the heart. If you say, I wonder why I wasn't healed. I wonder why God doesn't heal sometime. And you start throwing these analytical questions around. We shipwreck faith and we never have the heart to even hope, let alone believe. So you were checking your body, them testimonies, and it was there the whole time. And nothing was different. And that last time we prayed, boom, 100% gone. Completely. That's just beautiful to me. That should just encourage everybody, man. Anybody else? That time? What's that? About how much? Halfway? Okay, it's better. You can just tell it's changing. Here's what happens. Watch this. Who's what? Were they praying for you? For what? Yeah? Really? Okay. You feel like it's straight and strong, like it doesn't give? Okay, how would you know? Help me to understand when you have that condition. Can you tell when it's crossing, or does it feel like it's, yeah? Okay, so if she wasn't wearing them, would it normally pull? It would just pull because it's not crossed at all. Are you mom? So you know it's different. So it was crossing. Okay, so she's holding her glasses up. Mama's helping me to understand because I want impact. I want to get this. I don't want to be just, oh, that's great. Okay, that's why I ask questions. I want to understand. Mom said when she wouldn't wear these, the prescription, the strength of these or whatever would keep her eyes straight. But if she took them off, the one that was the lazier or weaker eye would pull in, would fall in. And it hasn't fallen in at all since they prayed. Cool. That's exciting. Look at that. Now here's what we're going to believe. I don't want you to make anything up. We're going to believe right now. I need you. I need the Jesus in you. We're going to believe that her eyes get crystal clear. Okay? Crystal clear. So you don't have to strive for that. You're not under any pressure. You just get to receive that. Okay? Stretch your hands to this little girl. Go ahead, honey. You pray, whoever you are there in the dress. You just pray that her eyes completely clear. Let's believe it in Jesus' name. Completely clear. Thank you, Father. Look at this. What a friend. Yeah. That's a friend. Yeah. That's like so powerful. In Jesus' name. So how would you know just by looking around? Would you know just by looking up at words? Would you need to see a book? Or would you just know? No, that's okay. Okay, well, tell me if it looks the same, if they're blurry out there, and just tell me if they're blurry. Tell me if it's changed or if not. Don't come up with a right answer. You're not under any pressure. I want you to tell me what you're experiencing. Can you see any different? Or do they still look blurry out there? Okay. You think it's a little less, honestly? Because you don't usually go without these? Wow. Your eye feels strong, don't it? You're grilling me, girl. You're like grilling. Let's pray one more time that when she looks across the room, it's a no-brainer to her. That when she looks across the room, she goes, wow, this is definitely different. Let's pray one more time. Completely clear. It's just good to go for this stuff, guys. We're not under any pressure. It ain't about it not happening. It's about believing. Complete clear eyes. In Jesus' name. Yay. Amen. Go ahead, open your eyes, honey. Look around the room. Just look at some faces.
Just check it out. Look at it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As handsome as they all are over there, it would be a shame if you can't see them clear. Look at them. Are they still a little blurry? A little bit? Okay, now you say, Dan, why ain't it changing? Here's what you do. When you pray for somebody and they're giving you this much patience and we're working and talking, here's what you do. Faith is never a point in time. If I pray for somebody and I leave them on the street and they tell me they still have somewhat of their condition or all their condition, I tell you what I told you earlier. And I say, here's the deal. Christians especially only ever have one response. You leave her thanking God, wow, my eye feels strong. It doesn't turn in. And you're the one that makes me see clear. I so appreciate you loving me like this. Jesus, you're awesome. And you have worship time. You honor him. You get home alone in your room. You open up a book. And you look at it in a way without your glasses that would have normally been. And you just start, thank you, Father. You see what I mean? Yeah. And if you were prayed for tonight, nothing changed up until this point, even though we have a lot of things changing. You leave here with this one thought. God, you're good. What you're doing in me is for sure. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for bringing change. You say, well, it didn't change. Just thank God for what he's doing. Believe he's doing it. That lady back there, the whole time wasn't changed. And they prayed one more time, and she was 100% changed, she's telling me. And I just believe her. You get it? So when do you let go? When do you believe nothing? You don't. You always stay thankful. You never make this about you. You always keep it about him. And that's how eyes get clear. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you. What's he got his little hand up for? What's going on? What's he saying? He's talking so soft. Yeah, you just hold him there. I'm not going to embarrass him. Stretch your hands to this young man. I'm going to pray something over his life. Father, I thank you for this. What's his name? Elijah. Father, I thank you for Elijah, and I thank you that he's a young man that grows up knowing you, that he truly is not moved by life, that there'd be no strategy against him, there'd be no emotional makeup that would be less than what you ever intended, that this man would go down in history as one that knew God and carried himself in the Lord. In fact, I just see a testimony written of him, a young man that was not moved by his circumstances, that continually had joy in his heart and in his life. Father, I thank you his life is a testimony to many and leaves a legacy to the glory of your name. And I thank you that you've handpicked him to have a sphere of influence in this matter and walk as a constant in the eyes of men, someone that doesn't change. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.